holding the last words of Tess on the Bay is the last two words. We discussed yesterday the question. Now, our Mishnah had distinguished between the Nedarim of Ksherim and of Rishoyim. And primarily we said the distinction can be said that Rishoyim do Nedarim, Ksherim do Nedavos. Where we said it's not even so much the Lashon, it's more the motivation behind it. But the idea being that a Nedava in general is something where you're much closer to fulfilling it. You've taken on a much stronger commitment. You've said this animal is a carbon to begin with, and therefore there's much. Therefore, it showed that. So that kind of expression shows that you're much closer to fulfilling the neder, and that kind of thing. Ksherim will make their nedarim when they make them in such a way that there'll be more of a guarantee that they'll actually follow through on it. They'll do their best to make it in such a way that something won't end up getting in the way. So we said that. So we said now the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have a machlokes about how to learn a pasuk in Kehelas about what's better to not make a neder in the first place, which is what Rabbi Meir says, or to make it and fulfill it, which is what Rabbi Yehuda says. Now neither one of them seems to be distinguishing between neder and nedava. So who would our Mishnah be like? So first we said that Rabbi Meir himself would say that there's a difference between neder and nedava. In which case we had to alter the wording of the Mishnah a little bit, because the expression would be by the Kshedim would say nodav rather than nodar, the nazir of a carbon. So now the Gemara brings up another possibility, another way of understanding who the Mishnah goes like. Another possibility is you could even say that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, which could mean exclusively like Rabbi Yehuda, or it could mean like either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir, because ki omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Edava. Because when Rabbi Yehuda is saying that, so again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the order of precedence is the best thing is to be noder mashalim, is to make a neder and then pay it off. Next best is not noder at all, is not to make a neder at all. Worst of all is to be noder v'ein mashalim, to make a neder and not fulfill it.
So that's within
the pasuk. That's what we were understanding. So now we can say ki omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Edava, that when Rabbi Yehuda is talking about that the best thing of all is ben Edava, is when a person makes an Edava and then fulfills it. Ben Neder like Omar, but he's not talking about a Neder, which means in other words the Ran says. Now we learned yesterday that. In this pasuk, Tov Asher LeSider, Mishatider V'Loy Teshalim, we had Rabbi Meir understanding it saying that Tov, the best of all, is Asher LeSider if you don't make a neder in the first place. And then we said Rabbi Yehuda says that no, that just means it's better to do that than to be neder V'Ein Meshalim, but even better would be to make a neder and fulfill it. So now the Ran says, according to the second explanation over here in the Gemara, we can say there's no actual argument between them as far as how to douse in the pasuk. They both agree the best of all would not be to make a neder in the first place. The machloikas rather would be that when, according to the mayor, when the pasuk says the best of all is not to make a neder, that also includes not to make an adovah. And here, Rabbi Yehuda would be disagreeing and saying the best, then saying that making an adovah is different, and that is a very good thing to do. Incidentally, I forgot to mention yesterday that everybody agrees. Now, we talked about the Rishoyim making the Nedarim and how it's not appropriate and so forth. Everybody agrees that Be'ez Tzara is different. Then it is appropriate to make a neder. We find by Yaakov Avinu when he was in trouble, he's running away to Lavan's house. By Yidav Yaakov Neder Lame. So the Rishonim explained that when a person is having problems and he makes a neder because of that, then that's a good thing. But we're talking about over here at other times. Within that also, I mean, even we say a person makes a neder based tzara, that can be a neder like Yaakov did, that he's going to bring korbanos, that he's going to build, he's going to set up the site of the Beis Hamikdash. It could be to give tzedakah or whatever, not necessarily a neder to deprive himself of something. That's more. So the Rambam describes at the end of Hilchos Nedarim, you can have a person, for example, realizes that he's been indulging too much in some kind of taiva, so he finds it necessary to make a neder to hold himself back from it. Okay. Like we have the story of that bocher who came to Shimon HaTzadik yesterday, who was looking at his looks and starting to pride himself on them and so forth. But ordinarily, the Rambam says, you know, better a person should just keep away from the thing without making a neder. A neder is not always necessary to make in order to hold himself back from something.
I love it. Also, he was the ishbrach of a neder.
Yeah, Vayidav Yaakov neder lema. Yeah, at the beginning of Vayetzia. Anyway, so again, so in the Gemara, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that a nedavah is different. But neder, like Omar, he's not talking about a neder. He agrees that a neder is best not to be, is best not said in the first place. So the Gemara says, "V'alkatani tov mezel mezen nodur makayim." What do you mean? In the Braisa, when we quoted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, we said better, the best thing of all is nodur makayim, as a person who makes a neder and fulfills his neder. And the answer is Tony Noideva Makayim, the same way as in the Gemara previously, on Tesamud Beis, we had to change the word in the Mishnah from Nodar to Nodav, the same way over here in the Braisa, we make the same kind of change. We say he doesn't mean Noideva Makayim, but the best of all is Noideva Makayim. Now, the Pasuk doesn't spell that out because the Pasuk doesn't use the word Nodava at all. The Pasuk there in Kehelas is talking strictly about Nodarim. So we can understand then, like the Ran says, that everybody agrees that with that a neder, the best thing is not to say it in the first place. But when it comes to a nedava, Rabbi Yehuda holds that is the best of all to make a nedava and then fulfill it. Okay, so now the question is, Maishna neder deloy. So what are you telling me the problem is with making a neder, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? Duma osiba l'dei takola. You may have the problem of takola, like we said before. You may be over on Balta Acher. Or you so nedava nami doma osi l'dei takala. Don't you have the same problem with nedava? How does it help that you said a word of nedava, or that you said to begin with, I'm going to bring this particular animal as a korban? You still have the same problem potentially about to acher. And we said the whole point is the ksherim make their nedarim in such a way that there's as little chance as possible of something not being fulfilled. So the answer is Rabbi Yehuda lo taimei. Rabbi Yehuda will go according to his own svara that the way the kshedim do it, to Omar, he says, Adam maybe kiv sase la'azara, the person will first bring his sheep to the azara, or makdisha, and only when he gets there will he be makdishit, v'soymach alea, and then do smicha on it, v'shechta, and then shechta, and that way, so like we said yesterday with Hillel Azokin, where he would do that, there's very little window of opportunity then for good morning. There's no issue of Baal Ta'acher because until he actually there's no issue of Baal Ta'acher because to begin with he doesn't even make the nedava, he didn't even declare the nedava until he's there at the Beis Hamikdash. So there's no real potential problem of Baal Ta'acher. There's not a problem of Me'ila either, really, because in that small window of opportunity there's really no time to do Me'ila. So therefore we're good. Incidentally, Tosfos points out to two things. First of all, why is the Gemara mentioning what Rabbi Yehuda says, or that maybe kiv sase la'azara? We could bring the case of Hillel like we did yesterday. So Tosfos says, because we're talking within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, we might as well bring something that Rabbi Yehuda himself says. He himself says this line, or that maybe kiv sase la'azara, so therefore we might as well quote that in order to support our understanding of his opinion. Second of all, Tosfos points out an interesting point. The word kivsasai means a female sheep. So what are we talking about? An oila can't be a female, it has to be a male. Necessarily, then we're talking about a shlamim. Now, Tosfos learns that the takola we're talking about over here is not so much bal ta'acher, like the Ran had said, but rather the possibility of me'ila. Well, we said yesterday, there's no such thing as me'ila by a live shlamim. The first time that me'ila ever applies to a shlamim is after it's shechted and cut apart, where then the imurim, the parts that are burnt on the Mizbeach, then Me'ila applies to them, if a person were to take that chaylev and use it for his own purposes. So that being the case then, how are we even talking about the possibility of Takala anyway?
You cut the sheep's on top of the hear the...
No, so that's the thing. It's true you're not allowed to shear a sheep that was designated as a shlamim or any kind of korban. However, in the case of a shlamim, if he does, and that's not Me'ila. He's over on an Isur. He's over on that Isur, but it's not necessarily Me'ila. So therefore, Tosfos is, again, Tosfos, who follows L'shitas Sam throughout the Sugya, that the Takola we're talking about over here is not so much Baal Ta'acher, but rather Me'ila, then how are we even talking about Me'ila anyway? And Tosfos answers, it may be true that technical Me'ila doesn't apply to a Shlomim while it's alive, only to the Emorim of it, but there still is an Isur involved. So therefore, we can still say. There is still Tosfos says an isur daraisa. It may not be meila, so he's not going to bring a korban meila for it. He's not going to bring a sham meilas for it and have to pay a keren v'chomish. But nevertheless, there still is an isur involved in using a shlomim, like we just said, for example, about shearing it. So now the Gemara is one. So now the answer is though. that when he does that, when he's first makdish, when he brings it to the Beis Mikdash, there's no real window of opportunity for even that lesser kind of me'ila, which would be an Issur D'oraisa, even if not rising to the level of actual technical me'ila.
Oila, same thing, right?
An oila would be the same thing, except no. An oila, first of all, me'ila does apply while it's alive. Since an oila eventually is going to be burnt completely on the Mizbeach, then in general, the rule is kodshe kodshim, me'ila applies to them while they're alive, kodshim kalim not.
How would you be over me'ila? Like,
so in the case of an oila, for example, you could be over me'ila. Let's say, for example, well, if it's a large enough animal, like an ox, you could ride it, for example, that would be me'ila. In the case of a smaller animal, like a sheep, you could, you lean on top of it already would be me'ila, for example, yeah. Okay, so again, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, since you bring it to the Azara, right, before, and only then are you makdish it, so then, if we say the problem is Baal Ta'achar, you're not going to have Baal Ta'achar then. If you say the problem is Me'ila, or even not a Me'ila per se, but just an Issur D'oraisa of using the animal, then you don't have a window of opportunity for that either. And therefore, that's what we're saying, the Kshedim do things that way. So now the question is, Tenach Nedava to Korbanus. So that explains Nedava of Korbanus, how you arrange things like that. Nedava to Nezirus Ma'ikar Meimer. What about, though, we said in the Mishnah that Kshedim can also make a Nedava of Nezirus. And how is that going to work? After all, you still have the potential when a person becomes a Nazir that he may end up being over on his Nazirus, or that he may end up becoming Tomei, or well, that's one of the ways of being over on his Nazirus, whatever. So why are the Kshedim be taking on a Neder of Nazir anyway? If we're saying the whole point is the Kshedim make their Nedarim in such a way that there should be as little opportunity as possible to end up being over on the Neder. And the answer is Rabbi Yehuda Latayne. And the answer is again that Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his own svara. Omar, Tanya, he says it to Tanya, he says in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a chassidim harishonim, ho yimis avin lahobi korban chappas. The early chassidim had a taiva, they wanted to be able to bring a korban chappas, because they wanted to bring every possible kind of korban. So like this, an oila they can bring, a shlomim they can bring, but where are they going to have an opportunity to bring a chatas? Lefisha ena kadosh baruch hu, maybe takol al yudeim. Now Hashem doesn't cause anything to go wrong through them, so they're not going to have an opportunity. They're not going to have an opportunity for bringing a chatas. And in fact, the mafarish over here says two explanations on it. One explanation is that they're afraid that after all, they may have done an Aveira at some point that might make them liable to a Chatas. Now, if they would actually just come with a Chatas to the Beis HaMikdash, then they would go to that Beis Din Shel Kohanim we talked about yesterday, and they would tell them, I'm sorry, what you did does not actually rise to the level of a Chatas. So your conscience may be bothering you, but you can't actually bring a Chatas for that. So now they wanted to find a way where after all, they will be bringing a Chatas for a different reason. The Mephodosh's second explanation is because in the first place they're not even in a situation of bringing a chatas, and again they want to bring every kind of carbon. So how would they do it? Says Rabbi Yehuda.
We learned recently in Yaakov, there was someone who used to bring every day
an Oshem Toleri. We talked about a couple of days ago that Bava Ben Buta would bring every day an Oshem Toleri, but an Oshem is not a chatas. So how would they do it? So lefisha ena kadosh baruch hu maybe takol al yedeim maha yu oisin. So what would they do? Oimdin masnadvin nezirus lamokim. So they would go and declare nezirus for Hashem kadeshi is chayev korban chatas. And this way, at the end, a nazir when a nazir finishes his nezirus, he brings three korbanos. One of them is a chatas. Oh, now we have an opportunity to bring a chatas.
So once in 30 days.
And so it's fine once in 30 days, but at least they can bring it. So according to the Mefarish's first explanation, the point is, in case during that time they had accidentally done something which their conscience is bothering them and they're thinking, I would like to bring a chatas for it, but they can't because it doesn't technically rise to the level of a chatas. There you go. They're bringing a chatas for the nezirus, and they can have in mind this thing as well. And according to the second explanation, the vote would be now they have an opportunity to bring every kind of korban because now they're bringing a chatas as well.
For every single korban, there's a
Beis Din
that says
not so there's not a separate Beis Din, but in general in the Beis Mikdash there was a Beis Din Shel Kohanim, and they had different responsibilities. Among their responsibilities is the practical fact to make sure that the korbanos are being brought the way they're supposed to. But included in that is also when a person would come with his korban, then he would talk to them and they would make sure that he's bringing it for the right reasons, and so forth. In this case, with a chatas, they would be the ones who they'd have to ask him whether what he did actually requires a chatas, because otherwise you can't bring a chatas for nedu and a dava, and you can't bring cholim la'azara, so you have to have somebody supervising that. So that would be the space in chokayin. And the Meforish doesn't actually mention the word based in Chokoinim, but that seems to be the implication, that if you were to come one day with a schatas without having Nizirus, then they would tell him you can't. Or maybe he himself would realize. I mean, these chassidim would have shown him. They knew the halachas. They would know that, in fact, you know, I'd love to bring a chatas, but I know I can't. So even without asking the based in Chokoinim, they would realize on their own. So like this, Rabbi Yehuda says, they would make a neder of Nizirus, and that way they're going to bring a chatas. But the Braisa continues. Reb Shimon Omer, loy nadru ben nazir. So Reb Shimon says no. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't do that because Reb Shimon, as we're going to go on to say in the Gemara, he holds it's wrong to accept nazirus at all, unless like you have the rare example like that bachur with Shimon Atzadik from yesterday. So you can't say that these Hasidim or Rishonim would make a neder of nazir in order to be able to bring a chatas. That's not a valid reason to become a nazir. Ella. Well, Kiddush is actually, when we learn Masechta Nazir, we'll talk about that. It's not so simple, actually, given that it's possible. And the Gemara does mention over there lesser yain mitzvah kiyain harushus, but we're going to discuss over there whether in fact a nazir is also to make kiddush, or whether there are ways around that. But you can always hear kiddush from somebody else anyway. So Rav Shimon says harotzali lahavi oila misnadev, or maybe. So if a person wants to bring an oila gezuntahed, he can make a nedava and bring it shlomim misnadev, or maybe toidav abba minim lachim misnadev, or maybe even a person wants to voluntarily give a toida together with the four kinds of bread that comes with it, he can do that. But Rav Shimon says no, these chassidim harishonim would never make a nedava of nezirus in order that they're not called sinners, because we find that when a nazir becomes tameh and he brings his karbanos, the expression in the pasuk is that the kohen will accomplish a kapara for him for the fact that he sinned against the nefesh. So Rav Shimon understands that it means, now on one level it can mean that he sinned, that he became tameh, because that's the context of the pasuk. But Rav Shimon is going to understand that in general a person is becoming a nazir, he's doing something wrong by it. Fine, the Torah gives him the ability to do that, but nevertheless, Reb Shimon is saying the pasuk is also hinting with those words that it's not a good thing to do. Right. So again, you have the example of that bacher with Shimon HaTzadik. Then fine, Reb Shimon would agree that's a rare example where it's l'shem shamayim and you can. But even these chassidim or rishonim to do nezirus, which itself Reb Shimon says is a negative thing, just in order to be able to bring a chatas, that's not a valid reason, says Reb Shimon. So it comes out then maybe in fact that Reb Shimon may not agree with what we said in our Mishnah, can nidvos kshedim not of a nazir of a korban, because according to him there's next to no way that a person can make a nedava of nazirus, and it would be the one of a kosher. So again, maybe you have that one example of that bacher, but other than that, really, according to him, nidvos ksherim would not include nezirus, because he's saying that nezirus in and of itself is a chet. So now the Gemara points out, Omer Abaya, Shimon Atzadik, Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar Akaper, Kulon Shita Achasein, all of them, all of those three Tanoim hold according to one way of thinking, the nazir choytehavi, that becoming a nazir involves an aveira. Now, we don't mean that they're not identical. We don't mean they're identical. In particular, the Ran says, in the case of Shimon HaTzadik, we said yesterday he wouldn't eat from the osham of a mitzorah, and the osham is brought when the mitzorah becomes tomei. So Shimon HaTzadik held that the problem is, not sorry, I said mitzorah, I meant nazir. Reb Shimon HaTzadik then, based on what we learned yesterday, would say when a nazir becomes tomei, then we say that maybe most people at that point would regret that they ever became a nazir in the first place, and therefore maybe their korban is not as cholin ba'azara. So he would hold that a nazir who goes through his nazirus without any problems and finishes off for 30 days or whatever and brings his korbanos, Shimon HaTzadik would have no problem with him. As opposed to the other two Tanoim that we're saying over here, Reb Shimon, which is Reb Shimon ben Yochai, and Reb Elazar HaKaper, they would hold that even to begin with, to become a nazir is not so good. So it's not exactly the same shita, but the point is we do see that all of them agree that nizirus involves, that can involves or can involve some kind of chet. So that's what Abaye means when he says the b'shita achas. We often find such a thing, by the way, Tosfos brings other examples from Shas where we'll say that we'll list a bunch of Tanoim and say they all follow the same shita, but really when we analyze it, we'll find it's not that they would necessarily all agree with each other. Each one might hold his din, each one holds his din, but wouldn't necessarily hold the other one's dinim, but they all have the same underlying idea, which though different ones may apply it differently. So the same way over here, they all have the same underlying idea that there's a chet involved with the zirus. Shimon HaTzadik would limit it to when he became Tomei. Everybody else would say that it applies even when he never became Tomei.
Yeah,
because
Shimon
is
Isha Chesed or?
What? No, I mean, I guess Pnimius and Yonim, you could say it has to do with the fact that he's Chesed, but at least on the surface over here, we're not saying that. So Shimon HaTzadik would have Shimon HaDamoron. We already quoted the things with Shimon HaTzadik, where he says he wouldn't eat from the Oshem of a Nozer Tomei with the exception of that one boy. So we see, in other words, that he holds, as we said yesterday, that when a Nozer becomes Tomei, then usually he regrets the fact that he ever became a Nozer. And therefore we say his Korbanos are almost Chulin Bazara, or maybe even literally Chulin Bazara. And therefore he holds that there's a Chet involved over there. Reb Shimon, we just said, because we said Reb Shimon says that even the Chassidim or Rishonim would not make a neder of Nezirus, because a neder of Nezirus is not really an appropriate thing to do. So if that means they can never bring a chatas in their lives, then so be it. Rabbi Lazar Akapa Berebi, the Tanya. What about Rabbi Lazar Akapa Berebi? Where do we see that he holds that? Berebi, by the way, doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. Berebi, or Berebi it is in some places in Shas, means the great Talmud Chacham of his generation. So Rabbi Lazar Akapa, where do we see that he holds of such a thing? The Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Akapa Berabi Omer, when the Pasuk says about a Nozer, Chippur Olavasha Chota Al HaNofesh, the Pasuk says the Kohen, when he brings his Korbanos, is accomplishing a Kapora for him for the fact that he sinned against the soul. So V'chiba is a Nefesh Chota. What kind of soul did he sin against? Now, Rabbi Lazar Akapa is saying you can't mean that he sinned by becoming Tomei, because wasn't necessarily a sin. He didn't necessarily do it deliberately or something. He was standing there, and all of a sudden, punked a person next to him dropped dead. That's an oinus. Or whatever. So you can't call that chota. So therefore, Ela should seer atzmi min hayayin. Rather, Rabbi Lazar HaKapra says the fact that to begin with he deprived himself of wine, that he gave himself a tsar by depriving himself of wine, that's enough to call him a chote. And Rabbi Lazar HaKapa continues, V'aloi dvorim kavachoymer. Now that we say that, then we should be able to make a kavachoymer. Ma zeh shaloi tzir atzma elamin ayayin. Ma doch such a person who deprived himself only of wine. Okay, the other things that come from grapes as well, but still, he's still allowed to eat meat. He's still allowed to have all kinds of other foods and drinks and whatever. Nikra chote. So and still he's called a chote. Hametzar atzma called dover alachs kama v'kama. How much more so a person deprives himself of everything. Mikan, from here, says Rabbi Lazar HaKapa, kola yoshe b'tainis nikra chote. A person who sits and fasts, a person who accepts a fast on himself, says Rabbi Lazar HaKapa, is called a chote. So again, obviously there are fasts Rabbi Lazar HaKapa agrees that we have to. If the scheduled fasts throughout the year, of course, you have to keep those. The fast that they make, that the tzibur makes, are called tzara shaletobe ala tzibur, if there's some kind of disaster or whatever happening, chas v'shalom, no question, Rabbi Lazar HaKapa says you have to join in those fasts. But he's talking about when a person accepts a voluntary fast on himself, and then Rabbi Lazar HaKapa was saying that's not such a good thing. And the Gemara has a whole discussion. Excuse me. The Gemara has a whole discussion about it in Masech Tainis, about that you have that opinion, you have a different opinion that says, on the contrary, a person who takes on a fast is called Kodesh. So there the Gemara says one distinction is, can he actually manage or not? Is it causing him deprivation to actually do that fast or not? So there's that factor. There's other factors involved. We know the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya that nowadays we're weak and we shouldn't be fasting. We shouldn't be fasting for tshuva at all. Instead, we should be giving lots of tzedakah. So Rabbi Lazar HaKapa. So we see though that he holds that nizirus is considered a chet. So the Gemara asks, "V'hadenu b'nazir tamik siv." What do you mean, though? That pasuk is only talking about a nazir tamik. So then the pasuk is saying "Ashachat al nafesh" in that connection. How is Rabbi Elazar HaKapper applying it more generally to and Rabbi Shimon? How are they applying it more generally to a nazir to a nazir in general? Now Shimon HaTzadik is being very consistent. He's saying that says the Ran that it's only about a nazir tamik. Well, yeah, because that's what he said. I would never eat the oshim of a nazir tamik. Because that's when I hold there's the problem. But Rav Shimon and Rav Elazar HaKapper, who hold that in general a nazir is a choyte, how do they understand the fact that this pasuk is only in the context of a nazir tamei? And the answer is mishum deshana b'chetu. The difference is, it would apply according to them more generally. But the reason why the Torah mentions it in that particular place is because shana b'chet, because he repeated the wrong thing. So the Ran says, in other words, that he made himself tzar of depriving himself of wine in the first place, and that he became tamei. So now the tumah itself is not necessarily that he did something wrong. Again, it could be ba'onus, but if it was just because of the tumah, it could have just said ma'asher chata without the word ala nefesh. The fact that it adds the words ala nefesh, say Rav Shimon and Rav Elazar HaKapper, that comes to hint to us that b'chlal, now he compounded it by becoming tamei. But even to begin with, when he became a nazir in the first place, was not really such a good thing to do. Now, what's wrong with that? So the fact that he became tamei, again, it wasn't necessarily that he didn't want to. So the Rosh explains, first of all, now it means, one explanation is pamayim mitzar. Now he's troubling himself twice. Because what happens, we know he loses all the previous days and he has to start all over again. So therefore, it comes out that he's deprived himself of wine twice. Once by the original Nazirus, and once that he's going to have to start over after his Torah. So therefore, now the Pasuk stresses that Asher Chota Al HaNafesh, you should know that now especially he's compounded things, he's made things worse by becoming Tomei. Okay, it wasn't necessarily his fault, but now even more so he's being Mitzayer himself, even more than he even should have in the first place. But even to begin with, he shouldn't have been Mitzayer himself in the first place by taking on the Nazirus at all.
Those things we learned, like the one that he asked the Roman king to heal him because he only to see his
oh, Reb Tzadik,
because he was then good for the chet of the people. Right?
So that's different. Reb Elazar, Reb talking about Reb Tzadik, before the Churban, when he was fasting during the last 40 years of the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, obviously he'd eat at night, but still. That's different. Yeah, that was for the chatoim of the Jewish people in order to ask Hashem not to bring the Churban. Right, even Reb Elazar HaKapper, the pashtus, wouldn't have a problem with that. Next, the Mishnah says, so now we talked about previously kinuyim. All this time we've mostly been focusing on yodos. Remember, the first Mishnah had said kol kinuyim nedorim kinedorim, and then we right away jumped into talking about yodos, and we've been discussing those. And we said in the Gemara at the beginning that the Mishnah seems to be missing the word yodos. The Mishnah never actually says the word yodos. Instead, it just goes and starts defining them. So now that we finished with yodos, now we're getting back to kinuyim. We talked about at the beginning on Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, is it that we have this X-like structure, this chiastic structure. So to have first, we're going to say kinuyim. Then we should have mentioned yodos, but the Tana left them out. Then he starts describing yodos, and now we're going back to kinuyim. Or is it, we said, even according to Rish Lakish, that the first words may be missing, the Mishnah should have started, kol yodos nedorim kinedorim, and then continued with kinuyim. Then it would discuss yodos, and now it would discuss kinuyim. In any case, now we're up to discussing kinuyim.
It's trying to say Mishnah is missing stuff.
You can. That's Chasuri Mechzer. All over the place, we say the Mishnah is missing words. Yeah.
That's what only Bryce
said. No, in Mishnayis also, we often say Chasuri Mechzer. And the idea would be, again, that since the Mishnayis were learned by heart, once a certain Nusach of the Mishnah was established by the people who learn Baal Peh, then they would tend to keep it because otherwise you're going to mix them up by adding extra words in.
So
Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, first, whether Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote the Mishnah or not is Machlokas Rishonim. The Rambam holds he did, Rashi holds he didn't. But in any case, even we're talking about before Rebbe, for the most part, didn't change the wording of the Mishnayos that he had available to him, the various collections of Mishnayos that he had available to him beforehand. Generally, he didn't change the wording. The Gemara often expresses that with the words Mishnah Lezazim and Koima, that the Mishnah doesn't move from its place. So in other words, what Rebbe did when he composed the Mishnah is he took all the various versions of Mishnayos that were going around. You had, for example, the Mishnayos of Reb Meir. You had Reb Meir taught his Talmidim using a certain Lashon. Reb Yehuda taught his Talmidim using a different other Lashon. Reb Shimon using a different other one. So first of all, Rebbe had to decide one of them would be the basis for the Mishnah, namely the ones of Reb Meir. And then he added, and then he decided among the various versions which one would be the one to choose, which one becomes the official Mishnah versus which ones are left as Braises.
According to
everybody, the Rambam holds that Rebbe also wrote it afterwards. Rashi holds that not.
Who wrote it?
According to Rashi, he doesn't say it was written out. It was written down at some later point. Rashi doesn't specify when. But in any case, I mean, Rebbe did more than that also. But the point is that Rebbe used a lot of material that was available to him beforehand. He didn't write everything from scratch. One interesting example they give of that is at the end of Masechet Kelim, Rabbi Yossi said the last din in Masechet Kelim is a din about a certain kind of glass keli that it's not makabel tumah. So it finishes off, and then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says, Ashraich Kalim, how happy, how fortunate you are, Masechta Kalim, that you started with Tumma and ended with Tara, because it begins with the words, Obis HaTumas. So we see that Rabbi Yossi, who was a generation before Rebbe, already had Mishnayos Kalim to a large extent in the form that we have it, where it begins Obis HaTumas and ends V'hafaukas Shol Schokas Tahora. So even though he was the generation before Rebbe. So that's an example. And there are other examples that show that large parts of the Mishnayos already existed more or less in the form that we have them before Rebbe, and Rebbe just put them all together and added editorial comments in some places and other, and sometimes changed the wording, but generally not. So now we're getting back to Kinnui. The Mishnah says, the word lachaveira is in parentheses. It's not really lachaveira. We're talking about a neder over here. We can be making it between himself and Hashem. So why the word lachaveira? So you often have, and then you often have the expression oim lachaveira. So the printers, by mistake, put it in. Anyway, if a person says koinam koinach koinos hare the kinuin lekorban, any of those words, a person says that this food is koinam to me, or koinach, or koinos, all of those are kinuim for korban, and it means. So now it can mean. So if he has food in front of him, for example, then it means that's matfis, which we talked about before, namely that he's saying this food should be like a korban, and therefore, just like a korban is also an off limits to him, so is this food. So in other words, it's a neder. It can also be sometimes that it can mean he's actually declaring that I will bring this animal as a korban. In any case, the point is we're going to see in the Gemara why we have these kinuyim in the first place.
What the word these words mean?
So the actual words, that's the thing. So they're substitutes for the word korban. Why it is that we're using those substitutes rather than the actual word, that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. But we know in Kol Nidre, we have a couple of them. We say the koiname, the kinuse, the kinuye. So koiname is the word koinam. Kinuse is the word koinos that we have over here. Kinuye means any other kinds of kinuyim that are valid. Hare the kinuyim lekorban, so all of those are kinuyim for the word korban. Similarly, cheref, 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 hare the kinuyim lecherem, all of those are kinuyim for the word cherem. So if a person were to say this thing is cherek or this thing is cherech, then it would mean that it's cherem. And the Ran points out that we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, there are two kinds of cherem, actually. There's cherem lagavoya, which goes to bedek habayis, so then it's basically like any other hekdesh, and there's cherem lakoyanim, where you have to give it to the koyanim. So the Ran refers to later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about, they had a difference in that regard between Yehuda and Golil, between the south and the north of Eretz Yisrael, in terms of which one was the default kind of cherem. In Yehuda, since they're closer to the Beis Hamikdash, the default kind of cherem was the default actually the other way around. In the Golil, the default kind was cherem gavoya. In Yehuda, the kind that go to Hekdash. In Yehuda, the default kind was cherem koyin. We're going to talk about it later on in the Masechta. So therefore,
which was closer to
Hekdash? So the Yehuda is closer to the Beis Hamikdash, but in the Golil, if a person said cherem without specifying, then generally it would mean cherem koyin. And if he says, we'll see. We're going to have a Mishnah about it. So he has the expression The Mishnah has the expression over there that in the Golil, she'ein, the expression is that they're not familiar. She'ein anshi Golil makirnas trumas alishka. In the Golil, they're not familiar with the whole concept of kodshim. So that's something else over there. That's actually trumas alishka. Whatever, we'll talk about it later on about the two kinds of karam. So again, so here the Ran says either we're talking about that. Either we're talking about over here in the Golil where he just says Cherem and automatically that makes it Hekdesh, or in Yehuda where he specifies Cherem, where he says Cherem Shalbet Kabayis, so Cherem Lagabaya. So again, if instead of the word Cherem he uses the word Cherek or whatever, then that would also work. Because these are Kinuyim. These are examples of Kinuyim where we're saying, we're going to see in the Gemara where the source of Kinuyim is. But where the sources that they work that we discussed the other day in the Gemara. The fact that Kinuyim work, actually we said we may not even really need a pasuk for it per se, because we said it's logical, given that they have this meaning in either in the languages of the Goyim or languages that the Chachamim themselves invented, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, then of course they would work. So that's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush is the Mishnah is giving us this list. So actually, the interesting point is, if we're saying, now we're going to say in the Gemara, again, we have two opinions. One is that these come from Goyish languages. The other is that these are Lashonis that the Chachamim invented. So at the beginning of the Masechta, the Ran brings up the point. If you're going to say that these are from Goyish languages, then what's the Chiddush? Why even mention a list at all? Just say, if a person makes a Nedu in any language, then it's valid. Why list these particular ones, Koinam, Koinach, etc.? And so the Ran says the reason is because the fact is, even, so he brings from, he says, Achocham Agodor of Yehuda Reb Chisdoi, Zecharin El Baracha. I don't know much about him, but apparently he was an important enough Rishon for the Ran to call him by such a title. Anyway, he says the Chiddush is, it's one thing if you say something in the standard language of the Goyim, to say something, for example, if in English you were to say, I vow or whatever, or I make an oath, then of course that would be valid. But if these words, koinam, koinach, koinas, whatever, even in the languages of the Goyim, they're kind of like slang, or they're kind of like careless ways of talking that the Goyim in those countries use. So you would think maybe it wouldn't be effective, and therefore the Mishnah is telling you it is effective. Tosfos there actually has a different understanding of it, that what it means is when it comes to using any other Goyish word, any other word from any other language, you would have to understand what you're saying for it to be a valid neder. So if a person who doesn't speak English says the word, this is a vow, that would work because he doesn't understand what he's saying. But if he uses the word koinam or koinach, etc., then it works even if he doesn't understand what the word koinam or koinach means. And that's how Tosfos says. And then you have different mefoshim afterward discuss how could that be. Don't you need piv v'libo shoven? You have to have that the person has in mind to make a nedu if he doesn't understand what he's saying. How could that work? Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Nozik naziach paziach harei l'kinuyim l'nazirus. By the same token, if a person says, I will be a nozik or a naziach or a paziach, all of those are kinuyim for nazirus, and therefore he's a nozik. Or shvusa ushkuka. Or neder b'moihi, or if he makes a neder, which here we mean neder in the looser sense, we mean a shvur, b'moihi, harei l'kinuyim l'shvur, all of those are kinuy for shvur. What is moihi? So what is moihi? So there's two major explanations. The Rambam, and also the Mefarish over here, says that the Aramaic word for shvur is moimasa. So therefore, moihi, again, is like a shibush, it's like a careless way of saying moimasa. So therefore that would work. On the other hand, the Ran understands that the word and brings from the Yerushalmi that the word Moihi is a nickname for Moshe. So now, does it mean that the person is actually swearing by Moshe? Now, there is that possibility. Maybe you do actually find, the Rambam mentions in Sefer HaMitzvahs that he says among our people, it's common for people to swear by Moshe or by Hashem who sent Moshe. And then that constitutes a valid Shavua. But on the other hand, also the Ran says that no, what it means is, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that it means that the person is saying like this before, when Moshe came to live with Yisrael, the pasuk says by Yoyo Moshe, and we understand that it means that he made a shvua that he won't leave Midian without Yisrael's permission, and therefore later on in Parashas Shmos, when he wants to leave, then Hashem tells him you have to go ask permission. Hashem tells him to go to Midian and ask, and so he himself goes rather by Yelach Moshe by Yoshua Yeser Choisnei and says I want to go to Mitzrayim, and Yisrael tells him Leich L'Shalom. So Moshe had to begin with made a shvur that he wouldn't leave Midian without Yisra's permission. And now when a person says a shvur b'moihi, what it means is he's making a shvur like the way that Moshe did. So those are the two possibilities of what b'moihi means. It's a word, it's related to the Aramaic word for shvur, or it's a nickname for Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's referring to the shvur that Moshe made. There is, by the way, there's a bunch of places in Shas where one of the Chachamim says to another one, Moshe Shapir Ka'amrit. Now the usual explanation is that means that he's calling the other Chacham Moshe, and you have a pichsidus. There's the idea every time a Chacham has a nitzutz of Moshe in him, and therefore he's referring to that. But there's at least one place where it explains. I think Rashi explains in one place that it means that he swore by Moshe's name. He's saying, I swear by Moshe's name, Shapir Ka'amrit. Are you saying correctly? What you're saying can't possibly be correct. So we see there was an example of swearing using Moshe's name. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Itmar. So now we have a discussion of Amiroyim. Kinuyim. Where do these kinuyim come from in the first place? Rabbi Yechanan Amar Loshen Umasein. Rabbi Yechanan says these are words from the Goyish languages. Their word for korban and their language is konam, or their word for cherem is cherek, and so forth. Rabbi Shimon Lakishim Loshen Chaboduch Lam Chachamim Lias No Deboda. Shlakish says these are terms that the Chachamim invented for people to be using for nedarim and shuos. As in fact, we find a pasuk. What do I mean by shabadu? You find, for example, by Yeravam, after he set up the Egla Azahav, and he made a yomtiv of his own. He made a new yomtiv sukkahs doing cheshben instead of doing tishrei. So the pasuk describes it b'chodesh during the month that shabadu miliboy, that he made up out of his own mind. So we see that the word bada means to make something up. There are, by the way, Mephoshim will point out that maybe that line doesn't belong in the Gemara. If you have Rish Lakish himself, he's using the word Shabbat Ulam Chachamim. Why is he bringing a proof for what he's saying from a pasuk? He doesn't need to bring a proof for his own Lashon. So it's more likely that it was a note that somebody wrote by the side of his Gemara. What's Shabbat Ulam Chachamim? He wrote a note, you know, like you have the word, Shabbat Ulam Chachamim, and eventually it made it by mistake into the Gemara.
Bod means also separate himself.
No, that's Bod Dal would be to separate himself. Bod Dal means he made it up. So the question is, so why would the Chachamim make a takana? Why would the Chachamim invent these words for kinuyim? So the reason is, in order that the person shouldn't say korban. Well, what's wrong? What's wrong if the person says korban? And the answer is, because he may not just say korban. He may say a korban to Hashem, as is a Lashon HaPasuk. Now the question is, so what? So what's the problem if he says that? And the answer is Once he says korban lashem, he might instead want to say lashem korban. And now what might happen is he might say the word lashem, and he might say the word lashem and not say the word korban. He changes his mind, or even he drops dead on the spot, and then he's used v'kamapik shem shamayim lebatola. Then he's used Hashem's name in vain, where we learned the other day that's a serious thing. So we want to avoid anything that would be likely to make a person use Hashem's name. It's not, but nevertheless, the fact. So the idea of dropping dead is, I think the Chassam Sofer says that. But the other possibility is maybe he changes his mind. He says Lashem, and then before he has the chance to say Korban, he says, you know what, forget about it. So now he's been Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola. Vitanya, and we learn a brayse of Shimon Omer, minayin shloyim adam lashem ola lashem mincha lashem toda lashem shlomim. How do we know when a person declares an actual korban, he shouldn't say the word lashem first, he shouldn't say lashem ola or any of the other ones. Tamid lema korban lashem. Therefore, instead, the pasuk says, the pasuk uses the expression korban lashem, adam kiyak mukem, korban lashem. So now, v'kava chomer, and if he just says korban, that's fine. But if he says korban, he might end up saying lashem korban, and then you have this problem. Then he might say lashem without korban. So there, so Reb Shimon is pointing out that even the pasuk itself expresses that it's not appropriate to use the word lashem first, because the pasuk puts the word korban first. Adam ki yakum mikem korban lashem, rather than it might have just as well have said adam ki yakum mikem lashem korban. But it put it dafka in the order of korban lashem to demonstrate that that's the appropriate way to say it, and not the other way around. And Rav Shimon continues for Kal V'Chomer. And now, once you have that, you can make a Kal V'Chomer. Umazesh l'niskaven ela lahazkir Hashem Shemayim al korban. Madach a case like this, what is he meaning to say Hashem's name for? Is in order to designate a korban. Omra Torah korban l'Hashem Levatola, and still Hashem, and still the Torah says that you should say Korban Lashem in order that you're not being Motzi Shem Shem, Omer Torah Korban Lashem, Levatola, Alachas Kama Kama. How much more so if a person says Hashem's name Levatola, that it's wrong, which is what we learned the other day, that when a person says Hashem's name inappropriately, then Levatola, then he should be put in Nidui, and a person who hears it and doesn't do it should himself be in Nidui, and we said Anios Matsuya, and so forth. So we see that even when it comes to a Korban, a person shouldn't be using Hashem's name first, he should be saying Korban first. The Mefarshim, by the way, talk about when it comes to the Sur La Shem and Sur La Zazel, when the Kohen Gadol makes the girdle on them, he says La Shem Chatas. So there you do have the word La Shem first. So how does that fit with what we're saying over here? So there's a couple of answers. Yeah, one of them is there. The Pasuk actually says that he says, but the expression La Shem Chatas comes from the Pasuk. So therefore it actually uses the word Lashem before Chatas. But they talk about different other angles on it also, one of them being that after all, there, even if he just says Lashem, even if he doesn't end up saying the word Chatas, it becomes the Sar Lashem. So therefore, there saying Lashem all by itself is fine. Whereas over here, if a person were to say on an animal Lashem and not end up saying Oilo or Shlomim or what have you, then it would be Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola, and therefore you shouldn't be doing that. Wouldn't automatically be a shlomim, because it could just as well be an oiler. It could just as well be, yeah. So therefore, he has to actually specify what kind of korban it is. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, lema katanoi. Well, do we have to say, can we say that this machloikas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, about where the kinuyim come from, would be a machloikas tanoi? Namely, a braisa says, Beshama emim kinuye kinuye kinuyin asurin. Beshama says, not only the kinuyim of our Mishnah, but even kinuyim of those kinuyim. Misformed versions of those kinuyim themselves. We're saying the word the kinuyim themselves, one possibility is we're saying that those are like a. Now, when we say the shodis ha'umus, we don't mean, for example, that the goyim came up with these words independently. When we say that these are lashonis from the goyim, what we can loshon umas saying, Rabbi Yechon is saying, can mean the goyim themselves. They had Jews living among them who are saying korban, and the goyim took over those words and then adapted them to and slurred them into their language, and the official word for it in their language became koyim. So now a kinui of that kinui, Beis Shammai says kinui kinui nasurin, even that would be osur, or besilam kinui kinui and returning, whereas besilah would say that not. So my lab, so doesn't that mean Manda Omer Kinuya Kinuyin Asurin, Bes Shammai, who hold that Kinuya Kinuyin are also Kasava Kinuyin Loshin Umasain, he would hold that the Kinuyim to the first place come from the languages of the surrounding Goyim. So in other words, once we have, let's say Konam is an official word in some language, so now if a person makes a kinui of that, the same way as the word Konam itself is a corruption of the word Korban in Lashon Kodesh, so the same way, now that the word Konam is an official word in some other language, then therefore now if you have a corrupted version of that, then that would also make, then that would also be valid. Whereas according to Basilo, that Kinuya Kinuyan do not constitute a neder, they would say because the original Kinuyan were invented by the Chachamim. So the Chachamim invented these terms. They didn't invent Kinuya Kinuyan. So now if a person makes a Kinui of the word Koinam, nothing happens because the Chachamim said the word Koinam. The Chachamim didn't say some corruption of that word Koinam. So if we go like that, then it means that Rabbi Yochanan is going like the Shammai and Rish Lakish would be going like this Hillel. So the Gemara answers, Loi, not necessarily, do you have to understand that way? The Kula Alma Kinuyin Loshin Umasain, everybody might, both Beshama and Basila might agree with Rabbi Yechanan that the Kinuyim come from Goyish languages, or Beshama Sabri Bahani Nami Mishtoi Umas. So Beshama holds that the Goyim do use such words as well. Now we're going to give examples in the Gemara soon of Kinuya Kinuyin. For example, the word Koinam we said is a kin. What if a person says, we're going to have soon in the Gemara, what if a person says, for example, mikananna? So he's taking the word koinam and making a verb out of it. The mem at the beginning and the nun aleph at the end means I am doing such and such. So I am doing a koinam. So that would be an example of kinuya kinuya. So now again, Rish Shammai had said kinuya kinuya in work. If a person were to say mikananna, that would constitute a neder. Rish Hillel says that no. So first we thought to say, and again, that B'Shamay holds, the word koinam comes from a Goyish language. Well then, in that case, you can make a verb out of it just like you would any other. The same way, you know, you have, let's say, consider, for example, in modern Hebrew, you have, let's say, the word telephone that they took from the common word for telephone, and they made a verb out of it. You can say mitalpen. You can say, for example, that somebody is calling somebody on the phone. So they take it and they treat it as though it was a Hebrew word and put prefixes and suffixes on it. So the same way, B'Shamay on the face of it would be saying, once the word konam is established as a word in some Goyish language, then sure, you can make a verb out of it just like you would any other language, any other word. Whereas B'Shamay would say that no. So now we're saying that no, both B'Shamay and B'Shamay will agree that the word konam comes from a Goyish language. So B'Shamay will hold that they also use such terms. They also will take the words and make verbs out of them like that. Or B'Shamay Sabi behind the language story almost, whereas B'Shamay will say that no. Now, it's not a machlokes the metzius, whether we're not going to just go walk down the street and see whether we hear goyim using such things or not. The point is, the Ran says, you have some of them that misuse the language like that, and therefore they talk like that. That doesn't mean, it's not the ikir loshin, it's not the official the formal version of the language. People don't talk like that. So the fact that people on the street will use slang like that and will convert nouns into verbs and things like that, that doesn't necessarily mean, says Basilo, that that's reason enough for us to give that any chashivos in halacha. V'boisema, or another way you could understand, B'Shamay Sabri Gazrinin Kinuya Kinuyin Mishum Kinuyin. B'Shamay says, you're right, goyim don't use words like Makanam, but we have to be goyzer, we have to make a zera that if you use Kinuya Kinuyim, you may come to use the Kinuy itself and think that that's also fine, and it's not. But B'Shamay Sabri Gazrinin Kinuya Kinuyin Mishum Kinuyin, whereas B'Shamay would hold that not. So they're not necessarily arguing on the actual underlying point, whether these come from the Lashonis of the goyim or whether these are terms that the Chachamim themselves invented.
So the machlokes is if something sounds similar or something doesn't sound.
So similar. We're saying the machlokes could be in three different ways. We could understand that they're arguing where the Kinuyin come from, but then the problem with that is we end up with Rabbi Yochanan like B'Shamay. We could say that they all agree that they come from the Lashonis of the Goyim, but that B'Shamay and B'Shillel is going to hold, we only care about the official formal version of their language. We don't care about the fact that people will go and then alter the language and go and then use slang and things like that. We're not worried about that. Where B'Shamay is. And the third possibility we're saying is that B'Shamay says, fine, it's true, they don't use such terms, but we have to be goyzer because they're close enough to the Kinuyin, and therefore you may end up using the actual Kinuy of Koinam, for example, and thinking that it doesn't make a difference.
So who comes up to be more machmir?
Well, B'Shamay is more machmir, saying Kinuy, Kinuy, no osir. But why they're saying Kinuy, Kinuy, no osir, again, we have three different ways of explaining. I'll explain to you after.
No,
okay. Okay. So the Gemara says, Heichi dami kinuya kinuyin de Nedarim. So what are examples of kinuya kinuyin of Nedarim, where B'Shamay is saying those would be a problem and B'Shillel says that not? Tony Rav Yosef, for example, Mekanamna, Mekanachna, Mekanasna. For example, he takes the shodesh of the word koinam or koinach or koinas and makes a verb out of it. Puts a mem at the beginning and a nun aleph at the end, which makes it in Aramaic, I am making a koinam, I am making a koinach, I am making a koinos. So that would be, so if he said, this is koinam, then yeah, that would be also. But if he says, mekanamna, then B'Shamay would hold that also constitutes a neder, and B'Shillel would say that not. Okay, heichi dami kinuya kinuyin de cherem. What is an example of doing that with cherem? Toni mafsha, so mafsha, which is the name of a chacham, Torah b'raisa. For example, if he says, charakim, charakim, charafim. For example, if he takes any of those words and pluralizes them and adds a yud mem at the end to make them a plural. Agoyz habach brings a different girsa that, for example, he says tach karakim. So he not only makes them plural, but he adds a letter at the beginning. And kinuya kinuyin de nazirus. What are examples of that by nazirus? Tony Rabbi Yosef machazakna manzakna mapichna. So these are all related to the word nozik or noziach or poziach that we had in the Mishnah. Actually, the Rashash says that really the correct girsa over here should be that again, for example, noziach, the shodesh is nun zayin ches. So the first one over here should be manzachna. So you're taking again nun zayin kuf from the word nozik, and making a verb out of it. And the same thing with the other ones, we would be taking the word naziach from the Mishnah and making a verb out of it, and it would be manzachna. And the third one would be makzachna. So slightly different than we have it printed over here in the Gemara.
The verb is the adding.
The verb is you're making it into a. You're saying I am doing such and such. The mem at the beginning, the nun aleph at the end, makes it I am making such and such. And you're turning it into a. You're turning it into a verb. So you're taking the shodesh and putting a mem at the beginning and then the nun aleph at the end. Yeah. Okay, boilahu. So now the question becomes mifachzinamai, mischazinamai, misaznamai. What about if he uses terms like those? Now those would be that we're taking the shodesh, we're flipping around the last two letters. Now sometimes in Lashon Kodesh you can do that. For example, we have the word kesev and keves both mean a sheep. So something in Hebrew, that's a valid way of forming words, is by flipping around the last two letters. So imagine now, for example, the person takes the word, the kinui nozik. Not only does he make a verb out of it, but he flips around the last two letters. So instead of nun zayin kuf, he makes it nun kuf zayin, and then puts letters on it to form a verb. So now he, instead of manzikna, he says mankizna, for example. Again, the girsa that we have over here in the Gemara, machzakna, is not necessarily the original girsa. But the point is, what if he's not only so Tosfos explains that not only what he's doing, Tosfos actually has different girsos over here, but the point is, not only is he taking the shodesh, the Tosfos and the Rashash explaining what Tosfos is saying, that he's taking the shodesh, flipping around the last two letters and putting prefixes and suffixes on it. Is that considered kinuya kinuyan, or is that too far away that even Beis Shammai wouldn't have a problem with that? And Tosfos, by the way, also points out, you would have to have at least that the first letter of the shodesh stays intact. If, for example, let's say with koinam, the shodesh is kuf nun mem, if you were to put the nun beforehand, before the kuf, and say man kamna, then that for sure, even Beis Shammai wouldn't hold that's a kinui of a kinui, because you're not going to substitute, you're not going to change the first letter. If you're going to change around letters in a shodesh, it's going to be the second and the third letters. So that's the question. If he uses expressions like that, mifachzina, mitzchazina, misazina, are those close enough to manzachna that therefore those are still considered kinui of kinuyim or not? My, what would be the deal? And some other ones, kinma, kinma mai. What if a person uses the word kinma? It does have the same basic shodesh letters as koinam, kuf nun mem, but koinam ka'omar. So does that constitute a way of saying a koinam? Or yoma kinman besim ka'omar. Or maybe not. The word kinma itself is an independent word that means cinnamon. Like you have one of the spices in the Torah, and then in the Shemana Mishka is kinman besim. So maybe therefore all he's saying is, so maybe he's trying to make a neder like cinnamon. He's saying this thing is to me like cinnamon. And that, of course, is not a neder, because cinnamon is not a dover on neder.
Can't you simply ask the person, did you mean
to? Even if he says, I meant, he still has to express something that constitutes a neder. If I were to say this thing is to me, gibberish, that wouldn't mean that it's also to me, because the word gibberish doesn't have a meaning of neder. So even if I had in mind that this thing should be also to me, the word gibberish itself doesn't have that meaning. So therefore we're asking, the word kinma doesn't have the meaning of similar enough to koinam or not.
Cinnamon can be something that you're...
It could be something that's not, if you were to say, for example, the cinnamon is to me a korban, and then you were to say this bread is like the cinnamon, sure, that would be matzahs. But if you have cinnamon and you say this food should be to me like cinnamon, that's not a neder. Similarly, by the same token, what if instead of using the word koinam, what if you use the word kina with a hey at the end? Kina sheltan golem kamar, would that be related to the word kina, meaning the nest of a bird? So again, that's not a valid neder. If a person says this thing should be to me like a nest of a bird, that doesn't make it also to him. Odoma loshen bekoinam, or maybe it's a losh, maybe it's close enough to the loshen koinam that it would be considered a kin. And the Gemara says, with all of them kin tiboy, with all of them we're leaving it in take. Tiboy is the expression we use in Nedorim, the Yoshalmi type expression, instead of take. Now, by the way, an interesting thing, one of the Meforshim in the back of the Gemara, the Poras Yosef, points out, all of this seems to only be according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, Kinuya, Kinuyan don't matter anyway. Why on earth is the Gemara going through so much trouble to try and establish what Kinuya, Kinuyan are, if according to Beis Hillel, they don't work anyway? And the halacha is like Beis Hillel. And for that matter, when we said before, Lema Katanoi, since when do we call them Achlokas Bishama Bisilam? Of course, they're Tanoim, but we know Bishama Bimakoim Bisil in a Mishnah. The halacha is almost never like Bishamai. So why are we using the word? Why are we? So he says maybe. Well, fine, Mashiach comes. Okay, but right now, no. So he says maybe what it is even in the time of the Gemara, there were people who had the Braisa the other way around, who had Bishamai saying that Kinui, Kinui, and Mutter, and Bishilo had that it's Osir, and therefore the Gemara is saying, just in case, if you're following that opinion, then we need to know about Kinui, Kinui. Lamaisa, the Poskim Paskin, like Bishilo in the version of the Braisa that we have it over here, namely that Kinui, Kinui, and Mutter. Okay, the Gemara says, hey, Kinui and Deshvoya Hechidami. Kinuya, kinuya, and deshvoya, hechidami. What about what's a kinuya of shvua? So, for example, he said instead of shvua, he says shvu. Now, we said in the Mishnah that shvusa and shkuka are kinuyim, but suppose instead he says shvu el, shvusi el, shkuki, shkuka el. So the Gemara says shvuel. What do you mean? How could shvuel constitute a neder? Shvuel ben Gershom mashma. Shvuel is actually a name of a person mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, a descendant of Moshe. So, the same way as if you were to swear a shvua, I swear by Pliny, that wouldn't constitute a shvua, unless if that Pliny is Moshe Rabbeinu or something, maybe, but not stam a person. So how could that constitute a shvua? El shvuvo el shvusil shkukoil. So those mahu. So what would be the din of those? Agos Habach takes out the word mahu because we're not asking the question. We're saying those are kinuya kinuyim. Of Shavua. And we know already that Kinuya Kinuyim are not an issue according to Basil. There is one of the Mephoshim who wants to say that maybe the word Mahu over here could be conceivably a Kinui from Moihi that we said in the Mishnah, and therefore that's what the Gemara means. Mahu Amar. Omar, if the person says Ashivsa like Omaklum, if he says Ashivsa, so he's taking the word Shvusa of the Mishnah and making an alternate form of that. In making it ashivsa loyamaklum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. Ashtika loyamaklum. The same way, if he takes the word shkuka of the Mishnah and makes it ashtika, which literally means I will do a shkika loyamaklum, then again it's not anything. That's kinui kinui. Krinsha loyamaklum. And the same way, if he says krinsha or the oruch has a girsa, the oruch has a girsa kurnasa, then loyamaklum. That also wouldn't count for anything because those already are kinuya kinui, and there's no problem with those. We said in the Mishnah, Noder b'moihi harei the kinuyim, and that if you made a neder, meaning really a shvua, using the word b'moihi, then that would also be an example of a kinuy. So Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel, ho'ema b'moihi lo'omaklum. Actually, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you just said the word b'moihi, then that doesn't count for anything. B'moimsa d'omamoihi harei the kinuyim l'shvua. But if he says, using the moimsa, using the shvua, that Moihi said, where again, he said Moihi is a nickname for Moshe, harei the kinuyim l'shvua, then that is a valid kinuy for a shvua. So just the Moihi by itself would mean in Moshe, and that's not a valid neder. So in other words, the Ran says, if he says shvua or shkuka, then those by themselves are a loshen of shvua, so therefore those count. But here, where he's saying the Moihi, which refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, then he has to actually be saying b'moimsa d'amamoihi, with the shvua that Moshe said. Then the Ran brings another explanation, another girsa, that if the person says bimoimi or bimoimsa, then it wouldn't count for anything. The bays cancels it out. If he says moimi or moimsa, then it would be valid. In other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying that with a bays is not a kinui of a shvur. So when he said, so only if he says moimi, which itself is the word in Aramaic for shvur, then that would count, or moimsa. But if he says bimoimi, meaning in a shvur, then that wouldn't count, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's the Ran's second explanation. According to the first Lashon, is we're saying if he just says bimoihi, that doesn't count. But if he says bimoimsa, da'oma moihi, then that would count. So even though he's using the word beis, bimoimsa, according to the second version, we're saying that if he says bimoimsa, that doesn't count at all. Only if he says moimsa or moihi, then that would count, because that itself is a lashon of shvur.